Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled today because with us we have Brian G. Walsh. Brian is an author, three-time screenwriting fellowship and contest finalist, screenwriting consultant, screenwriting instructor, and script coverage provider. His latest bestseller, Last Angel to Fall, is receiving rave reviews. Brian, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Vicki. I'm very pleased to be here.
So tell us a little bit about how you came to your passion and purpose in life. I know a lot of it's reading and screenwriting. How did that evolve for you?
Yes, it is actually screenwriting and a lot of reading. It's hard to pinpoint exactly how that evolved. It's more, I would also say, the influence of watching a lot of television and movies, some good, some very bad, often feeling that I didn't like the way a program, say, turned out and that I could have done better. Sometimes I would actually think of alternative ways to end a movie or series, and I liked them better than what had been done. I would say, though, my brother, Gary, who was also the editor of the novel, he was writing a novel when he was a child, and I was younger than him, and that inspired me to want to write.
That's really wonderful. So tell us a little bit about what inspires you to be creative and to write a major novel?
That also, Vicki, it's hard to pinpoint the exact genesis of an idea. Sometimes I read a newspaper story or I am reading a book, a biography or fiction. I read a lot of fiction, and I'll see a line in it or an idea expressed, and I'll think that would make a good story. Sometimes it's just a stray thought. This actually began as a screenplay. The Last Angel to Fall was intended to be a film script. This idea was sparked by the fact that when we think of heaven and hell in the Bible, we really only consider one side of the story. And whether you believe in God or not, I simply thought that we should examine the other side of the story more closely and that we shouldn't be afraid to question.
That is really fabulous, you know, a really, really good point. So what challenges did you face with your writing?
Well, I wrote a short story collection, which I published on Amazon. That didn't do anything for me. I was mainly interested in becoming a screenwriter. I took a lot of courses. I even flew out there. I met some people. I met David Milch, who is famous for Deadwood and NYPD Blue. And that really honed my screenwriting desires. And after spending so much time working on screenplays and never getting anywhere, I thought I might want to try writing a novel. My brother was pushing me to write one because I'd also tried to make my own movies. I tried that a couple of times, but people have a tendency to lose interest when they're not getting paid up front.
Yeah, that is so very true. So what are some of your favorite tips that you would maybe like to share with the writers in our audience?
Yes, actually, one of my favorite, probably my absolute favorite, is that revisiting that idea I mentioned to you, it's the two sides of the story. Say you're writing a novel or a screenplay and you have your protagonist, your hero. You usually write it from that character's point of view. Well, I try to look at the whole screenplay when I'm done with it, or novel, and I try to look back at the antagonist, the villain, and say, he or she is the hero of their own story. Now, how would they see themselves? What have they been doing throughout this story? I try to fill in the gaps, even if they're not going to be presented in the book or screenplay. You shouldn't create cartoon villains without substance, because the enemy character is usually believing in what they're doing. They believe that they are in the right and what they're doing is good and necessary, even if it's considered evil by others. I would say that's my main tip, is to make sure your characters are three-dimensional. Give them substance. Make sure that you understand their shoes. Sit in their shoes while you think of their character, and make sure you understand why they're doing what they're doing and can present that to the audience.
And you certainly were able to do that in your latest bestseller. Tell us a little bit about your latest bestseller and what you hope the reader will take away from reading that book.
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Vicki, because it's a hard thing. I mean, there is controversy in this. Some people will probably be upset about it, but they have to keep in mind that this is fiction. It is simply an attempt to fictional make-believe where we try to understand both sides of the story. I mean, in almost everything, the truth is somewhere in between both sides of two people's story. Most of us accept events in the Bible without considering what they actually mean, and that's fine. But if you believe in God and take the Bible literally, as if it's God's word, then you can't really cherry-pick, can you? You have to take the whole Bible as God's word. Now, when you consider the biblical flood and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, God destroyed these cities and with the flood destroyed the entire world because it was said in the Bible that everyone was corrupt. But as a thinking 21st century person, it's hard to accept the fact that everyone, and I mean everyone, including infants, newborns, etc., were corrupt. There have been justifications for the flood, of course, and I'm not saying they're wrong, but if a ruler today destroyed an entire city or cities, not to mention virtually the entire world, as the flood is supposed to have done, that would be seen as a war crime. It's a terrible thing to even consider. But why is it that it's okay when God does it? I'm not saying it isn't. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying it should be thought about. I'm saying we as humans, we can't wait for help from anyone. We have to take control of our own fate and not allow fatalistic ideas to rule over us. And I simply think that we need to consider both sides of the story and consider some of the actions in the Bible, what they really mean. Did they really happen? What do they really portend for our future?
That's such an interesting approach. It truly is. So with that in mind, if you were to look at your book and the work that you've done with fiction, what would you like to see that have in the way of impact if it were broader than just the individual reader, but on the world, almost like a legacy? What would that look like for you?
Well, I guess the impact I'd like to have is that people don't just allow someone else to tell them something and accept it, swallow it whole without thinking about it. Even as a child, I mean, I was very devout as a teenager, and I became more, shall we say, in my mind, realistic. And it doesn't mean I don't believe in God, but in some of the things that I'd read in the Bible and had been taught. And I think most people, even though the Bible is supposed to be the most important thing in your life, in your world, if you're a believer, most people just allow someone, whether it's a minister or a preacher, to read it to them, and they don't really ask questions. They don't consider what they're hearing. They just accept events like I mentioned, the flood, the destruction of two entire cities, and they don't ask, well, I would like to know why this happened. How were infants and newborns considered worthy of destruction? Why was this done? Why was one family allowed to survive and everyone else destroyed? Why basically does God get a free pass when anyone else would be at least questioned and we would insist on answers? What was your justification for doing this? I would like the legacy of the novel to be that it opened people's eyes to allow them to fairly and dispassionately consider these questions. As I said again, it doesn't mean I don't believe in God. It simply means I have questions that are disturbing to me. These questions disturbed me when I thought about them. I think not enough people do give thought to some of those terrible things that happened and why they were done and whether or not we should agree with those things.
You know, I just think that that is so wonderful and so important, especially in our climate today, to be able to really seek out what that means for you personally. And I've always been a person that questioned things that were told to me, things that I learned. I always wanted to know all sides. And I also really value that. I think it's just critically important for people to be, have the freedom and the desire to want to go above and beyond just whatever happens to fall in their lap as far as information. So, Brian, I want to thank you so much for bringing the book out to be able to encourage that in people. It's really wonderful. And I'm sure that a lot of our people listening will really love to maybe connect with you. I know your book can be found on Amazon, but is there someplace else on the web where they can connect?
Well, right now I do have two Facebook accounts. I have one under the name Brian G. Walsh and another under Brian Walsh. Now, strangely enough, the one under Brian Walsh, without the initial, is the one that I use most often. It's a public account, and I usually update what I'm doing, what's going on, and people can message me through either account, and I will find out about it. And I'd be happy to communicate with any of my readers.
Oh, fantastic. Well, again, thank you so much for the generosity of just encouraging people to explore new ideas through such a lovely vehicle as a best-selling novel. Really, really wonderful, Brian. Thank you so much for that and for joining us today.
Thank you, Vicki. It's been my pleasure to be with you today.
And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, our award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at mybookmybiz.com. That's MYBOOK, MYBIZ.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.